Okay, guys, let's just say a couple of things, or just one thing about the kids' work this morning. When Wendy's on kids' work, I know about what's going on. Boy, do I know about what's going on. Because I had to make the sail and get up in the loft and get my Holy Spirit sail out of the box where it was. We haven't used that since we were at Sheldon. She's actually, Lumber, we're talking about Luke this morning. The sad thing is that the people who write the children's work materials have got this huge, huge, huge background stuff behind them. But they don't have the ability to put it down in the materials, because I think sometimes they think everybody knows all about Luke. They know, in fact, that calling Luke a doctor is a bad idea, because a doctor was a sawbones. It was a very low status job at the time. You only went to the doctor if you're going to die anyway. A bit more like a witch doctor than anything else. They also assume that you know that Luke really made, like a number of others, really made Paul's ministry work, because he was the one who wrote stuff down. They also know that when you're talking about Luke, it's really difficult to put him together with Paul, because there must have been some real tension there, because Luke emphasizes a lot of different things to the things that Paul emphasizes. And in fact, if you read about the Spirit in Paul and you read about the Spirit in Luke, then you miss out a lot of stuff. You've got to try and put those two together. So there's all that stuff in the background. So what we're going to do is to concentrate, what we're doing this morning is concentrate on the fact that Luke and Paul went on a boat together. And that sometimes Luke needed to write down things for Paul. Well, he didn't, but he was one of the group where there was somebody who wrote things down for Paul. And they're sort of building a story round about that, about sharing the good news and visiting different places. So if you ask your kids, what was it all about this morning, don't be surprised if they have a story which works at the edges of what we know. Okay? I think that's a good way to describe it. I'm going to try and thread some things together this morning. But in order to do so, and I'm not sure I can, well, I know I can make the jump, but I'm not sure I'll take you with me. So you may actually have to, rather than jumping across the gap, you may have to go around, climb up the stairs and come around on the other side to where we're going to get to this morning. But my link here is Anthony, because I was reading what he told me in a couple of hours of conversation, I think it was a couple of Januaries ago, on the outskirts of Nottingham. I only spent an hour and a half with him. His wife came in to say hi, and he told me the story about how he'd come to faith, which was really interesting, because this guy had come from a church background, at least used to play football when he was a kid with a club, but something happened, and when he was about 10, I think, his mum and dad got really put out by something that the lead person said to them, and they never went back again. Anyway, he got married. His wife decided that she wanted to change churches. He wasn't a churchgoer at the time. So they went from the church that she'd been involved in to a new church. Well, it was in the Assemblies of God Church. And it's a church that I really admire. I've listened to quite a few people's stories from there. And they've got the ability to start from the beginning. But Anthony's story is of 10 years of on and off going to church. First of all, he went with his wife to make sure that she wasn't going to a cult or a sect. So often that I hear that story. Lots of husbands or partners go along with wives or girlfriends because they're worried about what they're getting into and like to be reassured. And so he went through that bit. She got involved in the music group and she settled in, and he used to help with various things. But he wasn't, as he said to me, he said, well, I believe that God exists, but I don't know whether I believed in it because I didn't do anything about it. And they came to a point in their lives where she was having some sort of emotional stuff and general health problems, and she needed a lot of support. And he used to go along to church with her to support her. And more than that, she needed little bits of encouragement. You know, that song would have really worked for her because she was having trouble with the way in which she felt about herself at the time. And she listened to United Christian Broadcasters. And he used to help her with this, and he used to go online and he would find little things that might help her that he didn't believe anyway, nothing to do with him. And he would send them to her. And actually, he must have been a really considerate guy, because he actually built her a prayer shed in the garden, prayer room in the garden. And he used to get this stuff and write it up on the walls, on little stickers and so on for his wife. Now, you've got to bear in mind, this is a guy who doesn't believe it and is just doing it to help his wife. And then during that time, he'd been very competent at his job, and they changed his responsibilities and gave him a job that was different from the one that he'd had previously. And he really found it difficult. So he was being a right grump at home, and he was flying off the handle at work and all sorts. And then he just sort of went through a phase where some of these little sentences seemed to mean a lot to him. And one day his manager was talking to him and said to him, he said, Anthony, obviously that's not his real name, Anthony, you've changed. He said, there's something different about you. You seem to be coping very much more. You seem to be resilient. And in my notes, I've actually written this down and underlined it because I had a recording going, taking notes. And he said to his boss, he said, I don't know. He said, there's a grace on me. Okay, there's a grace on me. So this non-Christian guy says, there's a grace on me. And I don't know what's happening. And he said, I like the person I've become. I like the person I was at the time. My wife commented on it. My boss commented on it. There was a difference. And I think it was about 18 months beyond this that he decided to commit himself to following Jesus after he'd seen a miraculous healing in a very little baby. And I spent a lot of time thinking and mulling over that word. I asked him about it. I said, that's a very, very technical thing to say. Not only is it a technical thing to say, it's an old-fashioned thing to say as well. There's a grace on me. I can't imagine that any of us would actually go around saying, when somebody comments about something that's really impressive is happening in our lives, that we'd respond by saying, there's a grace on me. It's pretty weird. But he said that's what he said. So he presumably picked it up from UCB, United Christian Broadcasters, and it really sort of stuck in his mind. And that was the best analysis he could make of what was going on. Now, one of the things, of course, is that he'd kept using that phrase after he'd become a Christian because of the fact that to say the other thing, which you could say instead of there's a grace on me, would have been really problematic. You can actually, on most occasions, swap the word grace and the term the Holy Spirit. You really can. And for Paul, those terms often are more or less interchangeable. But you could just imagine how it would be difficult for us, or certainly for the Assemblies of God Church where he was at, to have worked out how, as somebody who was 18 months away from being a Christian, he could have said, the Holy Spirit is on me. But that is sort of pretty much what it is. And now I've been splashing around in that puddle. Actually, I've been falling down that hole, if the truth be told, for the last little while, and I'm not sure how long it'll take to me to get out of it. But I want to connect this with something else. So what I'm doing is spirit grace. Now, talk to one another about what you would mean, not the Holy Spirit, but in terms of what it is, if you were to come across the word grace. And we get some feedback on that. And guys, you can't be wrong, because it's one of those sort of cloudy, feathery terms. Yeah, so what would you mean if you use the word grace and not what you say before your dinner? Okay, have a go and see what we get. Okay, guys, let's have a word or two that means pretty much the same as grace. Okay?
Peace.
Pardon?
Peace.
Okay. How spelled?
Peace.
Yeah?
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment. Not, I should have said not long words either.
This one is
not,
I don't know how to spell it.
Hang on, let me get this up. Okay, who was going?
Coping.
Coping, yep. That's the bricks that go along the top of a wall. Yep, as opposed to coping, which is quite different. Yeah. Overflowing. Yep. Oh, another long word. Okay.
Supportive.
Sorry, Jessica.
Protection and we have in brackets shield.
You only get one word, protection. I prefer shield, but I sometimes spell it wrong actually, but protection is. And Marion, you had next.
Supported.
You're not looking things up on the internet,
no,
are you?
Notes.
Okay. Okay, next. Joe. Yeah.
Generosity.
Okay. You may speak again, but not until I've finished writing the previous one. Because it makes me spell. Generosity. What was yours?
Tranquility.
One more after this, because I'm fed up with these long words. Okay, what was... Go on.
Acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard the word help somewhere, didn't I? Yeah.
Why
couldn't we have started with that? Then we wouldn't have needed the rest. Acceptance. Yeah. No. Why do you use the word help, Phil? Have you got a particular reason for that? Biblical reason. Pick it up. Yeah. Go on. Yeah. Do you remember that one? Because you're all right, of course. Because one of the ways you talk about it is that grace is a sort of portmanteau word, suitcase word. You can stuff anything in it that you want, really. But one of the things that I always go to is that to differentiate between grace and mercy is that bit where it says about coming to the throne of grace where we may find help in time of need. And I think I find that really useful because if you think, you can actually parse it, you can square this theologically, because if you think about what Anthony said, he said, there's a grace on me. He said, in effect, I'm getting help. actually. Getting acceptance, perception, supported, overflowing, tranquility, certainly peace, coping, enlightenment, all this sort of stuff, but he's getting help. And where's the help coming from? It's coming from the Spirit as well. Okay? Now, this stuff, we can make a real meal of it, but I may use that, I may not. I don't mean I may use the Bible, I mean I may use that translation, I may not, but we've got enough time anyway. Let's have a look at the Bible. Okay, so here's some Bible text. We don't need to start there, we're going to start a bit up here. Now, I've been mulling over this and I can connect it back to grace, but we'll see. Perhaps we'll do that next week. It just depends on where we get up to now. Okay, Paul was writing to the church at Colossae. Colossae was a town somewhere. He was based in Ephesus. He wrote to Colossae. We don't think he had founded the church. Other people had. And in fact, I'm not actually sure that he ever went there. He seemed to have a better relationship, better contact with the church down the road, which was there was a church at Laodicea and one at Hierapolis, and he wanted them to swap letters. You can imagine how long a letter took to write, and there was no option of photocopying, so what he said is make sure they get to hear this letter down the road in the other towns, and you listen to their stuff as well. But Colossae was noted for a couple of things. One was that they were very spiritual people. They would have been into crystals if they'd have been around. They certainly thought you had to worship spiritual powers, that there was secret knowledge that you needed to acquire. They would be sort of pretty mystical, and it was called Gnosticism. You had to know something special. As a result of this, of course, in order to know these things, you needed to do stuff. So very heavy on circumcision, and they also were big on diets as well. You could eat this, you couldn't eat that, and so on. And they, you know, sort of made the Jewish laws look like stuff for, made them look like Weight Watchers. Anyway, that's the context he's writing to. And one of the things we know about Paul is that he'd got a legal mind. Another thing that he could have moaned for the whole of Asia Minor. He was great at moaning at times. So he put these really strong arguments about. And I think quite often he felt bad. And you've got to remember at this time that he was in jail. And whatever jail was like, it wasn't good. And so this is what he's saying. We're going to get to the end verse here. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, I wonder how often televangelists actually preach on that verse. Okay? I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. In fact, we have to watch that we don't end up preaching if you come to Jesus, instead of having pain, you'll have pleasure. Okay? Instead of having the negatives, you'll have the positives. What our gospel is actually there are sufferings and there is glory too. Let me just come on a bit, because that's the main thing. He says, I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, next word, grace, glory. Okay, talk to one another, see if you can come up with some synonyms, but none that are longer than two syllables, all right? Okay, so these are words that go da da, not da 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 da. You know, sort of only if you're German can you do words like that anyway. But two words, not two syllables, not four. Okay, constraining your thinking a bit here. Let's have a look at glory. What's glory? Okay, glory, what we got? Synonyms, words that mean the same as glory, short words that mean the same as glory for you.
Okay, we've got nothing because all ours are more than two.
Okay.
Or light.
Splendor. Light, okay. Light and splendor.
You might reflect as reflection.
No,
reflect.
Reflect, that's better. I was having a discussion with my wife yesterday because I'm in a position at the moment where I've just sent a pile of stuff off to be copy edited, and I am paying, what did I say, were you around when we were discussing this? Wendy and I were trying to calculate it, and I think we're paying something like £10 for 100, I'm paying £10 for 100 words that are copied, which is just a pretty good job if you can get it, and if you can get it right as well. So I'm rather thinking about economy with words at the moment. So splendor, light, reflect. Okay.
Honour.
Honour.
Goodness.
Goodness. What was that?
Mercy.
Mercy.
Triumph.
Triumph. What was yours, Rolf, before you forget it?
Victory.
No, that's three.
Not if you say it.
Not if you say it like that.
Not if you say it in South African.
Shining.
Shining. Yeah. So this is sort of up the light end, isn't it? Greatness. All right, now we're going to stop there. Actually, greatness is interesting one here. Do you know the word I often use, which I find really helpful to understand glory? And that's this. Yeah? Okay. But all those words, of course, are meaningful. But here you are. Let me just ask you this question then, if we look at glory again, and we'll just shout this out as we go. What are the alternative, bearing in mind that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, so glory is something you hope for. What are the glories that your colleagues, neighbours, friends and family hope for? Okay? It is really important, of course, in terms of having useful conversations with people, that you know what is glory for them. So what sort of glory?
Prosperity.
Prosperity. Okay. I think that's a very close and central meaning to it, and you may find that what you're doing is you're actually riffing off this from here on out. But what is glory? What other things come to mind?
Similar, impressive job titles.
Yeah.
Being impressive.
Big job. What else?
Happiness as well. Babe.
Happiness.
Yes. Friendship.
Yeah, friendship. Can we just get three or four more just to fix the idea? Alternatives.
Can't think of a single word, but well-behaved kids.
Okay. Yeah, actually, if you tie that up in family. Yeah.
Dave, I said help.
Help.
Yeah.
You said what?
Health.
Health.
People, it's all about their health. So it's a feeling like a success.
Need to stop mumbling. Everybody needs to stop mumbling these days. Come on, a couple more.
Can I tie in? Oh, sorry.
Go, AJ.
Recognition,
yeah. This comes up here, doesn't it, with the big jobs thing. Then we, go on, Rosie.
Feeling like a success, the recognition of having a good job, having a good...
Felt success, yeah.
Means that you are a success.
It's really, it means you are. Yeah. Okay, look, that just gives us something to anchor it, because we haven't got the blue tack at the moment, but if we would, we'd put those up there and just keep those in mind. But I don't actually want to talk about any of this. What we want to do is go on, because this is, so in the back of Paul's mind, this is all about the hope of glory. And he said, he's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may, do you know, admonishing and teaching is the challenge and support thing. Admonishing has got more of a negative thing. Teaching's got more of a positive thing built in there. Everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. So fully mature in Christ is the way we're going to get to the hope of glory, really. And this is the bit I wanted to talk about today. To this end, okay, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now, let's have a look at this. Okay. And my hope is that I'll have got this stuck in your minds by the time you leave today, and you'll be able to work on this, and the Holy Spirit will stay with it with you. So, Father, we pray that as the words go up there, they go into our hearts and they find a place to take root. So, I strenuously what comes next?
Contend.
With all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Okay, strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now, I promise you, I haven't brought this word because it's something that focuses on me at the moment. I've been thinking about it in relation to somebody else and to other people and been praying about it. But I tell you, I have an energy deficit at the moment. Serious energy deficit. I've got my life pretty much regulated. And just at the moment, as you know, I'm needing to do fairly long days concentrating. But I also have other things that I have to do that I haven't had to do for a long while. And one of them is actually getting people ready for school of a morning. This is an experience which really does take it out of me. Not because Tom is difficult, but because he likes to be nudged, likes to be moved along in the morning. So it takes from round about 7:30 to 8:37 to get him out the door. Okay, because he takes some time to wake up, and then he sort of comes downstairs, and it's one of the times that he watches YouTube and seems to watch the same episode of the guy who vlogs about Fortnite every day. He just goes on and on and on. In fact, I've been joining in with it recently on the basis you can't beat them, join them. And then his breakfast is there in front of him, and he needs to be nudged to pick up the spoon and put it into his mouth for some while. I know that some of you are here, but I never seem to have experienced that with our kids. I was always out at work or at a conference or something, and Wendy did it all. So actually having to do it now is a bit of a thing. And I find that the stuff of life is very depleting. Does anybody else find that? Yeah? Okay. It just sort of wears you out. So thinking about that made me pay attention to the bit where it said energy when I was reading about this. Now, starting from the back here, you've got the idea that you're being worked in or worked on. Okay? When you come across that phrase, we're not going to get feedback on this because we just don't have time, but talk to somebody else about when something's being worked in you or you're being worked on. What does that bring to mind? Worked in or worked on? Actually, I will ask one person on each one of these, I think, just to go through. Not the same person, unless they answer very badly the first time, Simon. So I'm going to ask you in a minute, what does it mean to be worked in? Okay, first one, Cohen, Simon, what do you think? What is it if something's been worked in you or worked on you?
There's some thing that needs addressing, and it feels like God's just reaching inside of me and just rearranging things and ripping it apart. And it's painful, it hurts. You think, what the heck is going on?
Blimey, that's a bit heavy, isn't it, that one? Thank you, Father. Obviously, that was the right person to ask. Yeah? Okay, so being worked in is actually, you're getting a picture there. Rather than adjustments being made, you've actually got the skip outside. Yeah? Yeah? Acro props inside, and the place is covered in dust. Yeah? So that's been worked on, worked in, maybe a little more subtle, I think, sometimes. But I think you're sort of prompted in that by this idea, being so powerfully. When you think of God powerfully working in you, that's one way, okay, of him working on you with a jackhammer. What other ways are there of God powerfully working in us? Have a go. Talk to somebody else about it. Okay, what do you think of as powerfully, guys?
For me, it's the picture of the grub, the chrysalis, the butterfly. So the grub becomes the chrysalis, and inside the chrysalis, there's stuff going on. You're not quite sure what's going on, but you come out the other end of it.
Okay, so it's a developmental thing. Okay, yeah. This is the dunamis word, you know, dynamite, the word we get dynamite from, word you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's talking about energy. So, interestingly, the word here is actually the energy word again. So here you've got powerfully energy in me. There's that there. Anybody else on powerfully?
Yeah, when you walk in a certain path, it all seems clear, and all of a sudden
the light comes on. Yeah, okay. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? What would it mean? Here it is, guys. Because we're actually going to stop here, I want to get to energy, I think. So powerfully. What would it mean for you, and I'm not going to ask for any feedback on this, but I would like you to say it to somebody else, what would it mean for you if Christ powerfully worked in you this week, what would it mean? Okay. You need just to say it out, because with the mouth, you know, we just put ourselves on the line a bit there. What would it mean if Christ powerfully worked in you, not for you to solve your problems, but worked in you? Okay, if Christ powerfully worked in you, what would it be? Okay, we've talked a bit about that. So, God's plan is that Christ should work in us powerfully. When do you think he should stop? Yeah. When that which is perfect has come, okay. So that's what we're looking at. We want to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives. We can do it by ourselves if we wanted to. You know, when Wendy and I first started going out, I had a sort of midnight curfew as you sort of did, and it was often a matter of contention with my parents. And there was a bus, the 62, that went from the cinema at Chapel Heath, where she lived, and I knew it took 7 minutes to get there. Went to 20 to midnight. Now, if I hadn't taken my bike with me, because we'd been out somewhere, I knew I could just about do it, and I would get there. Sometimes I just caught the bus, and they were the great days where old RTs and RMs with the open back, so you could run along behind it and jump on. But sometimes I missed it, and the bus would go around the corner. Now, the way I got home was very simple. I just had to follow the bus, but without the bus's energy. And a journey that took 10 minutes took 3/4 an hour by the time I'd wandered home. And if my parents were asleep, I was okay. If they were awake, then there was going to be a bit of discussion when I got in. No wonder I wanted to go to university. There's something about that, you know, in following Jesus. Sometimes we think we have to follow Jesus just plodding along, but there's a bus we can catch, okay? It's the bus that comes with God working in us. And I think that's really where we'd like to have a focus this week. Yeah, want to catch the bus this week. Lord, where's the bus? Where's the help? Oh, I've got the connection with grace. I've done it. Managed to get full circle. Where's the help? Where's the help? Because that's really what matters during this week. I love that song. You can get it on YouTube. It's called You Say, isn't it? And Daigle, her name is D-A-I. I thought that was a cheek, though, Rolf, this morning. You said you didn't know how to pronounce it. How can anybody with a surname like Heslop not know how to pronounce the name? Any road. So have a look at that, okay? If that sort of resonated with you this morning, have a look at that. But do go to Colossians 1, verse 29. Okay, it's the last verse. And just try and spend a little time on that. And let's pray that the Holy Spirit, who makes all these things real to us, makes Jesus real to us, keeps these things in our mind, so that we have a really interesting week. And I think we'll leave this up, and I want to talk about getting these two things, you know, getting firing on both cylinders next week. Okay, we pray. We pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit that caused Jesus to be born and came upon him in life. Come on us again. we pray that the energy of God might be evident in our lives at every stage where we need it. And Lord, you know that as I'm here, I'm thinking of individuals at the moment and just where they might need it. And so, Lord, as we're each saying to you, this is where we need your energy, I pray that we might experience Christ powerfully working in us this morning, throughout the week. Amen.
Amen.
So as you're doing it, if you find it a bit of a strain, just think about poor old Simon, because quite clearly, whatever God's doing in him is a heavier job than in you. Amen.
Amen.